Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Today begins the second half of the church year, known as the time of the church. Notice that first half of the church year focuses especially on the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, beginning with Advent, then to Christmas, his birth, then through his ministry, passion, death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and the giving of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. This portion of the church here focuses on our Christian life. Growth in the church is the body of Christ. Growth happens by means of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit alone, who, as we heard last Sunday, was poured out upon God's people at Pentecost. He works in your hearts through the means of grace, through the proclamation of the gospel, the administration of the sacraments. During this season ahead of us, a long season, we'll hear of the many mighty works of our Lord Jesus Christ, his powerful teaching with authority. This new season, the time of the church, the weeks devoted to our growth in the Christian life, begins with a festival day. Festival of the Holy Trinity. And this is a rather unique festival among the many that are celebrated in our church calendar. While most, if not all, of the other festival days that dot the calendar focus either on a particular occasion or event, like the baptism of our Lord, the presentation of our Lord, the Nativity of St. John the Baptist, and so forth, or they focus on a person or group of persons, like the All Saints' Day, the Feast of St. Matthew, or the Feast of the Holy Innocents, perhaps. This festival day that we observe today centers on a teaching, doctrine, the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. For this reason, there have been some who have questioned whether or not we should actually keep this festival day. After all, isn't every Sunday a festival of the Holy Trinity? Don't we preach the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit every time we gather together? I suppose if you make that objection, you could say the same thing about Easter. But just as we celebrate Easter every year, we also celebrate the festival of the Holy Trinity every year. That's a good thing, wonderful thing. In fact, I can think of no better way to begin that season devoted to our Christian life than this festival day, the festival of the Holy Trinity. Because any growth that we enjoy in the Christian life has its foundation, its root in pure doctrine, the confession of the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. Great Lutheran theologian of the 20th century, Robert Preuss, would often say these words, doctrine is life. That's very true. Doctrine is our life as Christians. Doctrine is the foundation for our life in the church. Doctrine is the only fruitful soil from which we can grow and bear abundant fruit in the Christian faith. Apart from doctrine, apart from doctrine drawn from the Holy Scripture, the Word of God alone, there is no life for the church. There is no life for the Christian. This is what you confessed moments ago. Whoever desires to be saved must, above all, hold the Catholic faith. Whoever does not keep it whole and undefiled will, without doubt, perish eternally. Whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved. These words from the Athanasian Creed faithfully confess what the Scriptures teach clearly, that the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is the only God. Apart from the confession, the worship of this only true God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, there is no life. Of course, there are many who would disagree in our world, many even within the Christian church, so named, that don't agree with that statement. They think that one can be saved so long as they are sincere in their worship of a God. For after all, they propose that we all worship the same God, just using many different names. But that's not true. The Bible says that's not true. The only God is the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so whether we're talking about the so-called Abrahamic religions, like Judaism and Islam, or false religions that bear the name Christian, like Mormonism or Jehovah's Witnesses, whoever denies that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, does not worship the true God. Whoever denies that the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God, and yet there are not three gods but one God, does not worship the true God. And then, of course, all those other religions that are out there that worship a multitude of gods, or no God, or everything as God, likewise do not worship the true God. Even those in the church, again so-called, who claim to worship God, and yet say of the second person of the Trinity, Jesus, that he is a mere man, they do not worship the true God. True God is the triune God. He is the only God. Worship any other is idolatry. Yes, this is a terrible scandal in our day and age, perhaps the worst offense one could imagine, to say that there are false gods and that there are those who worship false gods. In fact, it might make us rather uncomfortable to hear and to say those words also. After all, there are so many kind and wonderful people in our lives, family members, friends, coworkers, neighbors, etc., who do not confess the Christian faith as taught in Holy Scripture, do not worship the triune God. Love them. We don't want to hurt them. We don't want to offend them. So we're tempted to soft pedal our confession, to generalize our doctrine. Maybe we just don't get into religion around them. Maybe we just stick to those things that we can agree on. Be political views, social views, moral matters. Maybe we just use those creeds that are general enough that everyone can accept them. God bless America, and God we trust. Assuming, maybe hoping, that they just have the same God that we do. But to soft pedal one's confession is not love for the neighbor. To allow our family members, friends, coworkers, neighbors, those whom God has put in our lives, to remain ignorant of the Holy Trinity, the only true God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is not loving. Yeah, it might be hard to confess the truth, and it might hurt some feelings to speak the truth. But on the last day, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Some will do so weeping and wailing on account of Jesus. Those who have not confessed this Catholic faith, worshiping one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, will meet God as Isaiah did long ago, crying out, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." But unlike that day, unlike it was for Isaiah, there will be no taking away of guilt, no atonement for sin. There is no other God but the Trinity in unity and the unity in Trinity. No other God who saves, no other God who loves, no other God who gives life. Consider our gospel lesson today. Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, teacher, came to Jesus by night, and he spoke about God. "Rabbi," he said, "we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." But Jesus is clearly dissatisfied with this confession. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And again, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." To be fair to Nicodemus, his confession wasn't false per se, but it wasn't a confession of the Catholic faith that saves. For Jesus, according to Nicodemus, was a good teacher, taught others about God. He had a special knowledge of God and his character. Again, not wrong per se, certainly not the fullness of truth. It's the same doctrine that many people confess still to this day, both inside and outside of the church. But again, such an insufficient confession does not save. For it does not confess one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity. It does not faithfully confess the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Nicodemus's doctrine was based on what he could see, what he could hear, what he could experience. When your doctrine is based on what you observe as a human being, it does not save. He, like many today, only confessed to the God that he knew by nature. But by nature, the human heart is sinful and unclean. Cannot believe in Jesus Christ or as Lord or come to him. Confess the pure doctrine that saves sinners, that there is one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity. To confess the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, one must be enlightened by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God alone. One must be given a new heart and a new mind and a new mouth to confess this truth, that there is one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is the only doctrine that saves, the only doctrine that gives life, because it's the doctrine that comes to us from above. So again, after Nicodemus confessed what he thought he knew about God, Jesus cuts right through it, saying, you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. Natural man cannot see God, let alone confess him rightly, and certainly cannot enter his heavenly kingdom. No, one must be born again, born of water and the Spirit and holy baptism, born from above, of heaven, of God. Those who are born again, who have been baptized, who have received the new birth of the Holy Spirit, truly receive a new heart with which to believe and be justified. They're truly given a new mouth with which they confess and are saved. They are like the prophet Isaiah, whose lips are purified by the burning coal from the altar of the Lord, that they might go out, confess the truth, speak the word of God in truth. All who believe and are baptized are children of God, the Heavenly Father. They are disciples of the Son, Jesus Christ, and taught by him. They are born of the Holy Spirit and enlightened by him. They know and confess God rightly, for they know God according to what he has spoken, what he has declared to be true in Holy Scripture. This God, the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is love. This God saves. The Father loves the world and gave his Son to be the Savior of the world. The Son, Jesus, equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, truly became man for our sake, like unto us in every way, yet without sin. He was lifted up on the cross, that whoever believes in him should have eternal life. He suffered and died, shedding his blood as payment for your sins and the sins of the world. He rose again on the third day in order that you might have the hope of the resurrection of your body, the life everlasting. And the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, gives life to you through water and the Word. He creates faith in your hearts, and he works love in your hearts for your neighbors. He enlightens you with his gifts so that you may truly believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is why the Athanasian Creed, which we confess, is so exclusive in its claims regarding doctrine. Rightly, we confess that you must above all hold this Catholic faith, whole and undefiled, believing it faithfully and firmly, because this is the doctrine taught by God himself. This is the only doctrine that saves, gives life, life everlasting. The divine doctrine, a divine faith, a divine confession. And of course, not simply the Athanasian Creed, but every creed, every confession that acknowledges Jesus Christ as Lord, that acknowledges one God in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Whether that be the ecumenical creeds, the Athanasian Creed, the Apostles' Creed, and the Nicene Creed, that be our Lutheran confessions, the Book of Concord, the small catechism that we all learned or are learning, we enter into the Lutheran Church? Our own confession that Jesus Christ is Lord, that I know that my Redeemer lives, that God so loved the world that he gave his Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life, that Jesus loves me, this I know. These are confessions of the one truth, of the one God, the one truth, the one God, the one doctrine that gives life. This doctrine we grow, and this doctrine we live. You know, today, we not only celebrate the festival of the Holy Trinity, today we also rejoice and give thanks to God for our young members who have graduated high school, about to begin a new stage in their lives. Probably noticed out in the narthex that there is a display of their accomplishments. Again, we give thanks to God for all that he has done through them and for them. And we recognize that many of these young people will be leaving home for the first time. All, whether they remain at home or go out into the world, all, no doubt, will encounter a world that at best questions, if not flat out denies, their faith, the exclusive claims of Christianity. Yours is not the only God, the only good way to live, the only truth, they'll say. Even those who claim to be religious will wonder and ask, well, why this focus on pure doctrine? Aren't there bigger issues at stake? Aren't there more important matters at hand? Why would you exclude all those other good people just because they don't believe like you? But having been taught the pure doctrine in Holy Scripture, we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity. Truth. And this, whether you are a high school graduate about to take off on ventures yet unknown, or a young child newly baptized, beginning one's Christian life here in the church, or if you are a longtime Christian, a longtime member, who perhaps sees heaven drawing closer than it was before. Whoever you are, if you are a Christian, this doctrine, this confession is the foundation for your life. A foundation that does not fail. This is the source of your growth and maturity in your Christian life. And not just ours alone, but rather we worship with the saints throughout the world. We heard last Sunday, though we may speak many different languages, we all confess one God, one Lord. And of course, all the more we worship this triune God with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, just like Isaiah saw in his vision long ago. In a moment's time, we will kneel before this altar. We'll receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and in doing so, proclaim his death until he comes. Together we worship the only true God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who has revealed his truth to us in his holy word, taught us by his Spirit to confess this faith before the world. Yes, it is true, whoever desires to be saved must above all hold the Catholic faith. And therefore let us continue in this confession, the only confession that gives life, proclaiming the pure doctrine of the Holy Trinity, that many from all corners of the earth may come to hold this faith with us and worship the blessed and holy Trinity now and forever. He alone is God. He alone is the Lord. To him be all glory and honor and praise now and forevermore. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
We continue with the offering.